blind these troops that are coming against us. And he went out, and you can read the story, but basically he said, the man you're looking for isn't here, follow me. And he took him over to the camp of Israel. And the king of Israel said, shall I destroy them? And Elisha said, no, feed them, give them a feast, give them drink. And they went away unharmed, and the wars ceased. So it's amazing how God uses different methods at different times to bring about his will. So let's just have a think about what angels do and what sort of form they take. Obviously, as we've read, they're created by God. They can appear in many forms. Sometimes they can, in fact, have this sort of traditional image of big men-like creatures with wings. And in fact, a good friend of mine many years ago was in a church on one occasion, and actually at the back of the church she saw a huge angel with wings in the sort of upper tier of the church, saw with her own eyes, because often these are unseen creatures, but on occasions God allows us to see these unseen things. They can appear in human form as men or as women. As I say, they're usually invisible. They're not omnipresent. They can only be in one place at one time. They have a limited understanding. It says in 1 Peter 1 verse 12, angels long to look into these things. And the Bible clearly states what their role is. If you look at Hebrews 1 verse 14, it says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Well, who's that? That's you and me. That's what they're for, to minister, ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. Angels are heavenly messengers dispatched by God to direct and reveal God's plans and purposes to mankind. Angels are also worshippers. It tells us in Psalm 103 verse 20, praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding and who obey his word. I'd like to just spend a moment or two thinking about guardian angels. Now, in the Christian faith, there are some people who believe that a guardian angel is applied to each one of us. My own feeling, and this is just my own feeling, having read Scripture, that I don't really feel that Scripture teaches that. But it is true that God can dispatch an angel to a particular person for a specific reason. And that can vary, obviously, enormously. But those who do believe in guardian angels, there are a couple of scriptures who maybe suggest that that is actually true. Now, I'm sure you know the story of Peter when he was in prison. And you remember in Acts it tells us that Peter was very securely fastened in stocks. He had guards all around him. There were huge iron gates in the prison. And it says an angel woke him up and the shackles fell off. The doors opened of their own accord and he escaped from a very secure jail. And then it tells us that as he walked down the street of the town where he was staying, the angel disappeared. And he went, there was a prayer meeting going on to pray for Peter and his release. And Peter, of course, knocks on the door where these people are praying. And a servant girl called Rhoda came. She didn't open the door, strangely, but she heard it was Peter and ran to tell the group that were praying. And their response was, oh no, it can't be Peter. It must be his angel. Now that is something, a verse that people perhaps sometimes take to heart, that we do have guardian angels. And there's another interesting scripture in Genesis chapter 48. And this is related to Jacob. And Jacob says this, "May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm." Again, suggesting that Jacob had a lot of encounters with angels, and people who believe in guardian angels perhaps point to that scripture as suggesting that maybe that is true. However, I'll leave you to reflect and decide for yourselves about that. But certainly God many times dispatches angels for our benefit and for his purposes to be fulfilled. Now, this is an interesting scripture, Hebrews 13, verse 2. "Don't forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it." So that does suggest that angels can take human form, and we could actually meet one and think it was just an ordinary person, whereas in fact, it's an angel. I'm going to tell you a couple of stories in a moment that that applies to that. So here, this is a true story. It happened last year. A guy came to speak with us from London. He has an amazing church there, seeing real revival in that church. A guy called Pete Winter. And he told us this amazing story. He said one day he was walking through the park in his parish in London, and he saw something blowing in the wind, and he noticed as he passed, it said, "Awaken." Now, I'm sure you're probably aware that awakening is a term that is talked about amongst Christians at the moment as to what God is doing. There is an awakening in this land where people are coming to Christ. Men, particularly young men, are walking into church for the first time. I met one a couple of weeks ago. Just walked into our church, never been in church before, just felt a need to come. And so he picked it up thinking it was maybe something to do with a church locally. But when he got home and read the leaflet in detail, he discovered it wasn't to do with church. It was an advert from a shop, which was a New Age shop, I don't know if you know about New Age, but they use crystals and things to sort of, it can end up in occult practices. So he was rather despondent, he showed his wife, and they decided they would pray against this shop, because if it flourished, then people would be drawn, instead of drawn to Christ, drawn into other things. And so they prayed against it. A couple of weeks later, he got a phone call. He answered the phone, and there was a lady, he didn't know her, but she said, "I need to speak to you. You're the vicar of our local church. I need to speak to someone." So he agreed to meet her, and she told him her story. The story was rather sad. In fact, she'd broken up with her husband. She didn't have any money. She and her husband decided he would take the children. He hired a very expensive top lawyer to back his cause. She didn't have any money to defend herself. She just had to speak for herself. And the court case went ahead. And this legal team that the husband had hired managed to persuade the judge that that was the direction that things should happen, that he would be awarded the two children involved. So it came to the final day when the judge would make his decision. Now that day, the wife was with her mother. And her mother said, this lady wasn't a Christian, her mother was. So the mother said, "I'd like you to take this into court with you." And I think it was a little crucifix. She didn't think anything of it. She put it in her pocket, went to court. And the judge was summing up, and he asked for final comments from the husband's team and then the wife's team. The decision was cut and dried. There was nothing she felt she could do. He'd more or less made his decision to award the children to the husband. And the judge says to the lady, "Would you like to say anything before I pass judgment?" The lady just felt in her pocket, and there was the crucifix. She didn't know what she was going to say. She wasn't adept with court proceedings. And she was just going to say, "Well, there's nothing more I can say." But as she touched the crucifix, suddenly, from the back of the church, a woman walked to the front. Now, nobody knew this woman. Nobody had seen her before. She wasn't part of the legal teams. And she said, "I'd like to represent this lady. I have things to say." And for the next 20 minutes, she spoke, and she had intimate details of this family. And she backed the lady's cause. And at the end of the phrase, the judge said, changed his decision completely and awarded the children to the mother. This woman who'd represented her walked away. Nobody knew where she'd come from. And clearly, God sent an angel. There was no other explanation to this event. But the story doesn't finish there. Because obviously the lady got her children, and she began to wonder and began to think. And she rang this minister again, and she said, "I've now believed in God. There can be no other explanation. I want to be a follower of Jesus." And a little bit later on, she rang him again. She said, "I need to tell you something." She said, "I am the owner of this New Age shop, and it's now going to close because I'm not a believer in those things. I want to follow Jesus." An amazing story, and again, just is a reminder of sometimes God sends angels for our benefit and our cause. And the whole thing turned around. Just one other quick story. What time do we finish? 1:30, is it? I don't want to overstay my... I'm coming towards an end. Just tell you this quick story. This is a much quicker story. We have a friend in Good News for Everyone. And he told me a couple of weeks ago about a story when he was doing... He does mission trips. And he was out in Eastern Europe, out in the middle of nowhere. He'd been called to go to a church, but he'd not really any proper contact. They arrived in this little town late at night. It was pitch black. They didn't have an address. The phone wouldn't work. So they just literally landed in this village at night. And they didn't know how to make contact with this church that they were going to. So his wife said, "We need to pray." They prayed for a few minutes. And then across the road, a lady came from across the road. She spoke perfect English, and she didn't ask them what they were doing. She said, "The place you're looking for," and she gave them clear directions. And then she disappeared into the night. Now, I'm saying again, this is God using angels to help us and to come to our aid. Again, I don't believe there can be any other explanation. Angels have tremendous powers. You remember it was the angel who rolled the stone away from Jesus' tomb. The angel shut the lion's mouths. And if you read 2 Kings 19, there was one occasion where one angel slew 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. Wow, that's a powerful act, isn't it? So they have tremendous powers. There's also a hierarchy in angels. And if you read scriptures and look at related scriptures, you'll find there are princes, there are celestial beings, holy ones. The two angels that are named are Michael and Gabriel, of course. And there are also cherubim and seraphim, but they tend to stay in the presence of God. They're not directed to come to us. And you might say, well, okay, there are angels. How many are there? Well, again, Scripture tells us. Both in Daniel and Revelation, it says there are 10,000 times 10,000, which I'm not a mathematician, but if you work it out, that's 100 million. So there are a fair few that God has created. And you'll find that angels appear in both Genesis. I don't know if you remember the first encounter. I think it's when Ishmael was born, and he was sent out into the desert, and an angel came and rescued them. Then right through to Revelation, where it tells us angels will come with Christ as he returns. And right through Scripture, I think on more than 280 occasions, you'll find angels mentioned in Scripture. Now, we do also need to remind you that there are fallen angels. You might say, well, who are those? Well, obviously, they are used by Satan. They were once angels, but they fell. They sinned. And interestingly enough, if you again go and do a little bit of research, you'll find one of these fallen angels appeared to Muhammad, which brought about the birth of Islam. Another fallen angel appeared to a lady called Ellen White, which was the birth of the Seventh-day Adventists. And also a fallen angel appeared to Joseph Smith. And you know, Joseph Smith led to the Mormons. So there are, as well as thankfully mainly good angels, there are fallen ones who do the work of Satan. So, in summary, they're not to be worshipped. They join with us in worshipping God. But you might say, well, I've never seen an angel. And I have to say, I don't think I have. But, you know, it's not uncommon. We have a little house group meeting once a week. And there are only sort of 10, maybe a dozen people there. And we were talking about this a while ago. And two people immediately told us about their encounter with an angel. One was somehow in a cave. They got lost. And they saw that there might be a way out. But there was a huge ledge, she said, where they had to get over. And there were no climbing materials or anything like that. And she said suddenly this huge figure appeared, 8 foot tall, and literally lifted them all, the small group, onto this ledge, and then again disappeared. And then there was another member of our little group who said he was out swimming one day and he got caught in the tide in some way, and he said suddenly this huge man appeared and dragged him to the shore, and again, before he could thank him, disappeared. He would have drowned, no doubt about it. So these events are not that uncommon if you work out the ratio of a small group of people. But again, remember that we can come across them and think they're just ordinary people like you and me. And perhaps there may be an angel that is here to help us. So, let me give you one final story and I've finished. Again, a friend of mine was running a charity for some years, and he was involved in this quite heavily. And they somehow the charity got into debt, and they needed, there was a winding up order given, and they had to find a large sum of money in order to keep this charity afloat. And this charity was doing a tremendous work amongst the poor. None of the people in the charity had any money. And so this friend of mine said it was going up to midnight when the charity would be closed down. And they were at the wit's end. and they just decided to pray. And now in his words, again, you might dispute the way he said it, but he said, as a last resort, we decided to dispatch an angel to help us. And amazingly, someone turned up at 5 to midnight with the money that was needed to keep the charity afloat. Now, whether we can dispatch angels, I think that's really God's job, but that's what he told me. And this somebody, an angel, more than likely, appeared, and the charity was saved. So it's really good, I think, to be aware of this unseen part of God's creation. And who knows, look out, perhaps one day you might have an encounter with an angel, which you'll be able to share with us. And what I would say in closing is, if you have already had an angelic encounter, come and see me afterwards. I'd love to hear your story. Thanks for listening. So our closing hymn is Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. And you probably already noticed we're not singing random songs this morning. They all fit in part of our... I noticed, Tom, one of your songs you chose had an angel in it. Was that just coincidence, or what did you...
Oh, they're all coincidence.
we look out for the words of an angel in this song, in this hymn. So let's sing together. Stand and sing. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven.